Out of the School of Music, Berklee, up in the Boston area, there are several great young bands comprised of students there. The Rutabaggers is only one of those. In the second hour of today's program, we're going to talk to them and their mentor, Tony Trischka. You're going to enjoy this a lot. Wonderful young band.
Very happy to welcome the Unreal Bluegrass, the band I just heard at Grey Fox, the Rutabaggers.
Hello.
Hello.
Good. You can all say words. Even the baseball
yes.
is allowed to talk on
Unreal okay.
Bluegrass.
All right. I'll remember that.
You are from, are you currently at Berklee?
Yeah.
Correct.
No.
We are.
All of us, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me do this so before I forget. Let's do names.
Yeah.
And the position.
Yeah, Sophia Chirandini. I'm the fiddle player.
I've heard of you. Yeah.
I'm Micah Nickel. I play guitar.
Mike's the tall one in the band.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm Ariel Weiner, and I play the mandolin.
And you are?
Tony Trischka. I am not currently matriculating at Berklee.
And CC Ellis. I play bass.
Great. And then you have a piece of straw in your hair until...
Yeah, he got it for me. He looks out for me.
Show, by the way, so.
Good grooming begins here at Grey Fox.
Yeah.
You are very privileged to be at Grey Fox. And you're very privileged to have this gentleman, Tony Trischka, be on board with you and introduce you as a part of the Berklee group that's playing here today.
Yeah.
You played, three or four songs. I was impressed by all of them. Your vocals, the opening tune, which you wrote, song, mm-hmm. were vocals that were flashing back to a whole different...
Yeah.
We won't say non-bluegrass, but you know what I'm saying? Like a swing kind of a sound in the harmonies and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Tony knows. It was great, and you wrote that song.
Yes, sir.
Even in the next to last song, which was a pretty traditional song, your vocals kind of... something happened in your vocals where it was a different, a non-bluegrass sound, and I don't know what it was, but it was something happened in the vocals. It was planned. It wasn't an accident. But in other words, you're bringing something new to music that you're learning through the Berklee program. And tell me a little about the program real quick, and then we'll talk about the band. But I think this is an amazing thing.
Well, the program is really cool. We got together playing in an ensemble at school for class credit and everything, and we just totally clicked, and we've been playing outside of school and plan to do more stuff in the future. And as far as our influences, I think everyone in our band, including our usual banjo player who isn't here, I think we all have super different tastes in music, just what we like personally.
Very different tastes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that, but let's hit on that for a minute because I can tell. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I've always been really attracted to early swing music. Sven Esmussen and Stuff Smith and, like, those guys for sure.
Who knows Stuff Smith?
Just from you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But, I mean, I love that stuff, and I love the traditional bluegrass as well. I love Tex Logan, who's one of my all-time favorite fiddlers. I'm a traditionalist, I'd say. I really love the tradition, but blending different traditions together, I guess.
Well, you're a traditionalist, but you're blending music with original songs, and I'm sure you have others that are not just traditional, but you bring that, but you also absorb, like the very first tune that you wrote, and I'll talk to you about that for a minute, you absorb those influences. You do get, you bounce into that swing, which isn't really traditional bluegrass a little bit, but you do that effortlessly, and the whole band adopts these different sounds. You wrote the tune, so you get to talk
mm-hmm.
about the
Oh, great. Time. Just about the tune?
Well, you talk about whatever you want.
Okay. Well, The Trains Don't Run No More, the first song that we played, is all about when myself and Sophia and Kari was also there, and my girlfriend were on a train with the wonderful MBTA Boston transit system on our way to Ari's house in Newton.
We're having a study day at my house, I remember.
Study day.
I'll let that slide.
We didn't study. We played.
I'll let that slide.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Back to your study day.
And yeah. And the trains broke down, so we had to come out of the subway, the dark, dank subway, and up into the onto the buses.
It's still not a video.
No, it's not. I will never express. I'll never stop doing that.
That's
but
okay.
So there was this wonderful reverb in the hallway, I remember, and we said, you know what, the trains aren't running anymore. They just don't run no more. And that became the whole song.
Well, it was very organic. It was all of a sudden Micah looks at me, he goes, the trains don't run no more in Boston. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, let's keep going with that. Let's do it.
You got a hit.
Yeah.
But the vocals, okay, I get the inspiration for the song itself and the position you're in, but the vocals in the song, it's not something that I would listen. I'm very open to all kinds of music. I love all kinds of music. I love swing. I love jazz. But that's not your typical bluegrass tune, is it?
No, it's not. Not at all.
So, all right, so you have the story of why you do it, but why do you put mm-hmm. it in the fashion that you do?
Well, that's how it how it started. It was Swung. Right. And I am a huge fan of like that, the vocal sound that is three parts, four part jazz chords, vocal jazz.
I come from a similar background.
I can tell from your mandolin play that I'm going to get to you. You're going to know the jazz more than I would expect.
Sort of. I'm picking it up quick. I started mandolin a couple of years ago, but I'm a trained opera singer. That's where my original background is from. So I came to the bluegrass world totally clueless in most categories and in most styles and genres. I didn't understand even what general bluegrass was. I didn't know who Bill Monroe was on the first day of my bluegrass ensemble.
You know, we can cut that out.
You can cut that out. But I do. I'm proud of my heritage, per se, of not knowing bluegrass. I thought...
but I'm proud to not be a bluegrass
musician. But I'm also very, very proud and excited to be getting into like the most exciting genre and exciting music I've ever played in my life, and I'm going to continue doing this for the rest of my life. Sure. I just never found it. It came to me now, but I never found it before.
Well, the vocals. What kind of vocals do you hear? In other words, are there? I think of Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross in the class. To me, they invented the vocal sound of jazz that I listen to, as far as that two or three.
Yeah.
You know, Manhattan Transfer was kind of a lesser version, but of the combinations Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross. What do you listen to any of that?
We have a similar 1920s swing taste. So I imagine it as like Delta River Boys, or like back to Ella Fitzgerald a lot.
Okay.
Or who's the bum 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 bum?
Oh, I'm thinking of the Mills Brothers.
You love the Mills Brothers. I love the Mills Brothers.
I would love
them.
You're thinking of
Cordettes or something.
Mr. Sandman.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cordettes. Yeah.
And the Andrews Sisters. Yeah. It's that style of that.
Okay.
I think that's what we were trying to emulate.
Okay. Yeah. And then into this swingy, bluegrassy 20s comes this opera guy. Let's go back to your name again, because
my name's Ariel.
Okay.
Yeah.
You used to use one name.
Yeah.
All right.
Ariel.
Oh, that's cool.
Sometimes go by Ari, but it's confusing.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You worked for Madonna, so you're...
Yeah, well...
Where did you get opera training?
I went to Northwestern University for 2 years before I came to Berkeley, and then I took a year off in Israel. I'm Jewish. I spent a year in Israel, and I did a Berkeley audition. I only had played mandolin sort of casually. Chris Thiele was like my idol. I found his music through my cousin, who's a professional mandolin player. And I slowly started getting into it, listening to all the wrong music in Israel because no one was informing me of the right music. And then I got to Berkeley, and I never expected I would have been in a more traditional-sounding bluegrass band, which is funny that I'm even saying that, because The Trains Don't Run No More is one of like the least traditional bluegrass songs. So, but I still tell like my friends and family I'm in a more traditional sounding bluegrass group, and I love it. And I could talk for an endless amount of time, but I'm going to hand it over to
you. You're going to be polite and pass it on to the bass player.
Yes.
How's going on?
It's going well.
How did you get into this group? Because that's my only frame of reference to jump on. I've seen you perform, and I kind of know a little bit but how did you get mixed with these fine musicians?
Well, I also don't come from a deep heritage of bluegrass playing, but I grew up playing country music.
But did you know who Bill Monroe was?
I did.
See,
okay.
Yeah. And we've raised the bar.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I grew up in the Midwest. I'm from Kansas, and I grew up playing kind of a combination of rock and roll and a lot of country, like classic Waylon Jennings, that kind of country, and a lot of jazz as well. So the transfer over from the country music to the bluegrass is fairly seamless as far as the bass role. So just at Berkeley, I knew that bluegrass was something I was interested in playing, and so I just signed up for the group and ended up working out.
Bass players, are there certain ones that are just like head and shoulders above who you would listen to pick up not just technique, but an approach or a tone or something?
In the bluegrass world, that is?
You know what, any. That's a good question. Any.
Really, I couldn't name many.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, Bill Monroe is a great bass player.
Is he?
Yeah. I think he's pretty deep into the history of it. No, honestly, the bass players that I really listen to are like the classic kind of session players. Like Chuck Rainey and those guys are the guys that kind of like I like to listen to bass players play bass. I'm not a big fan of solos, and
yeah.
I like to kind of
you want to get in the groove.
Yeah, I want to get in the groove. Yeah, and just play good lines. Okay. That's yeah.
Good. He sings too. We have a song that he's just singing as well.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's good enough. Yeah. So when you guys get together, and I'm telling you, don't go anywhere.
I'm right here.
You're right here.
I'm not going anywhere.
When you guys get together and you prepare for, you do shows together. So what would be a playlist? How long of a playlist would you do? This was kind of like a introduction to Rutabaggers, but you guys do shows, you perform around. Tell me a little bit about how you approach putting on a show. Someone's going to go see the Rutabaggers somewhere. Are they going to see this quick of a mix from one tune to the next, or is it going to be, what's your idea of putting on a show?
I mean, I think they probably get this from me mostly, that I'm really into traditional bluegrass, you know, even though I have the other taste, and like I started with classical violin as well, so
Where'd you learn classical?
I started with the Suzuki violin method, and I mean, I really loved that for a long time, but eventually it got to the point where I realized that as much as I love classical music, I didn't really get exactly what I wanted to do, you know. I like to improvise and come up with my own stuff, so. But, I mean, I think we do a lot of traditional bluegrass stuff, just with maybe a different kind of sound than most people expect. So, yeah, I mean. I'm so touched.
So, I
have. You obviously have a plan for the band. You obviously have a sound in your head for all of you collectively. So, So finish what you were saying, but think about what the sound of the Rutabaggers is. If you wanted to tell someone without having a chance to see you, what are they going to find out when they come to a show?
Well, it's rooted in traditional music, sort of steeped in old swing and old bluegrass, traditional bluegrass. And what else?
I mean, I think
that's a lot.
That's a bunch.
The visual aspect is a lot of it, you know.
Yeah. You guys have a good stage show, and that's important.
Something that I remember, that one time we were in a practice room, we found, or you showed us this video called Hallelujah, I'm a Bum.
Oh, that's great.
That's Sven Asmussen, and it's the most showy performance like I've ever seen, and it's extremely enjoyable. The MC, or the main fiddle player and singer, is just absolutely amazing, and we kind of, at least I know personally, like when we're working sets, I like to think of that kind of idea in the back of my head when I contribute to the group, and Micah has a great stage presence, and we kind of follow him a lot of the time, but all of us have good stage presence.
Tony, come here. Tony Trischka has been patiently waiting. He's holding on to his banjo.
Took long. I'm jeez, I'm molting here.
I appreciate this time from all of you. Tony, you're an instructor at Berklee, and that's how you came across some of these players.
Yeah, all these guys. And yeah, my son went to Berklee, and my friend Matt Glazer, he started this Roots program.
Yeah.
Great jazz fiddler. And anyway, I said, can I do something to help defray the expenses of my son's college education? He said, sure. So he had me coming up, and I'm still doing it 6 years later. I come up 2 times each month. 3 times in the fall, 3 times in the spring, doing a lot of one-on-one. So I've worked with all these guys, not you in that way, but the group classes I do also, where I've met all these guys. But Sophia, for instance, I found out she was a Tex Logan fan. I almost fell over. What? Because he's kind of not, you know, he's not the hip, cool, new person or whatever, but he's so great, and Sophia dug that, and all these guys are great. So so I get to do this 3 times in the fall, 3 times in the spring, and it's such a great program. And these people kick my butt, you know, because, you know, when I first started teaching, the first day, this bass player showed up, and I thought, and he was my son's roommate for my very first one-on-one, you know, this was 6 years ago, when we're talking, and he's standing in the doorway of this office where I was teaching, and he starts taking the bass out of the case after about 10 minutes, and, wait, you're my 10 o'clock? Yeah. Wait, you're not a banjo player. So I had to quickly learn how to teach. I've taught intonation to fiddle players.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. No, never mind. You didn't hear
that. You're please, for the next one.
No, so anyway, I've been doing it for 6 years. It's just such a blast. And we, part of what we do is just we jam out and play tunes.
And Tony, I've known you for a long, long time. And I know you.
Long time.
Yeah. I know you have diverse music influences and tastes and cross back and forth. But is there. Is it too early, too late, or just the right time to talk about what I walk around talking about, the Berklee effect? Can you help me explain that, or what's going on with the school? I think it's an amazing thing that's happening.
It's an amazing thing. There's sort of this thing, like if you go to Berklee, you're in Boston, and then you have to move to Brooklyn, which for a long time has been the bluegrass capital of the world, and then you have to go to Nashville. I just played at the Station Inn with Michael Daves and Mike Bubb, and after the show, you know, it's all these people from Berklee who were in Brooklyn and have vacated Brooklyn. But anyway, to get to your point, yeah, I think there are all these people that are starting to go into the mainstream and play with regular bands, like Mike Mike Barnett is, you know, he went to Berkeley, and great, great fiddle player. He's playing with Ricky Skaggs now. John Mylander is playing with, what's his name? Piano player. Crap, can't think of it. Major guy.
Bruce Hornsby.
Bruce Hornsby, thank you. He's playing with Bruce Hornsby. So these people, thank you, Steve. Anyway, so, and that's just, you see, every day, come on. So, if that's what you're referring to as the Berkeley effect, these people are starting to get out into the mainstream, as these guys will be also. And it's really exciting. It's just upping the level of knowledge and,
It is. And they go and they learn from people like Tony and the other people on the staff and Matt. And you're not only coming there with maybe bluegrass intentions, but you're leaving with all this other knowledge and theory and approach and stage presence. And then you're going back and then they find their own ways that take some of that with it. They may immediately, it's just my view of it, they may immediately go back into to the state of Nashville sound.
Right.
Then they begin expanding because they have that background. That's what I see happening and the skill and the presentation and the knowledge, the theory that they have behind what they do
it's a really important thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Molly Tuttle went to Berkeley. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And look at where she's going now.
Yeah.
Right. So, it's definitely having an effect.
Well, it's a good effect.
Yeah.
I'm taking too much of your time. You guys are here at Grey Fox. Thanks for giving some time to me. And Tony, I know you're running around here for a half a day or less, and always enjoyed meeting you. I haven't seen you for a while.
It's been a while, Steve.
It's been a while. I've gotten older in the process.
I've stayed the same.
I know you have. All right. Rutabagers, thanks so much. Anything else you want to say? You have a website?
We have a Facebook page. Yeah, Facebook page. We've got some videos, and we're on iTunes if you want to look us up.
Spotify.
We're on all
the music stuff.
Yeah.
So I tell people all the things.
Yep.
All the things.
Do you want to spell Rutabagers one more time?
Yeah, do that.
The Rutabagers, Rutabegars.
So you're actually begging
beggars,
for something.
Yeah. For Ruta?
I don't know. I didn't know who Ruta was, but I just thought.
I mean, we were thinking. When we were trying to come up with a name, we came up with a bunch of terrible vegetables.
Not a vegetable.
Well, we were thinking root vegetables, and we were trying to think like turnips, onions, carrots.
The turnips.
You know.
Yeah. That's the category. Turnips went nowhere.
The Ruta beggars just had a.
Oh, Sarah, come on! A little off mic, Tony. Come on.
They turn up at every gig.
Okay.
The Rutabagers just has the sounds, and we like the sounds.
I like it. Thank you so much. How long are you going to be at Grey Fox today? Just for today?
Just for today.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for giving us the time.
Great
show. Tony's a smart man. Listen to everything that he says.
Not everything.
The most of it. All right. I'll let you guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.